صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. عجل فرجهم وأهلك أعداءهم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. يا الله, we've come again to your door so that you may forgive us. Ya Allah, it's the night of mercy, every night according to the hadith. Allah sends his angels to call out where everyone can hear. Is there anyone looking for forgiveness? Ya Allah, we have come. We are in need of your forgiveness. You're so merciful. You've created this environment for me to benefit. All I can do is to be distracted. Ya Allah, forgive me for my negligence. Forgive me for my audacity in being in your presence, yet not even thinking of you, my Lord. Ya Allah, you have said that you want us to be connected to your wali on earth, your khalifa on earth, our imam. have a confession to make, Ya Allah. I have missed that. I have not been able to make contact with my Imam. I have not been able to be a true follower for my Imam. Ya Allah, by the right of that Imam, forgive me and allow me to change. You've created this opportunity for us to change, but if you don't help us, we won't be able to change. We've come to your door to say we can't do it. You need to take our hand. Allahumma inni أفتتح الثناء بحمدك وأنت مسدد للصواب بمنك وأيقنت أنك أنت أرحم الراحمين في موضع العفو والرحمة وأشد المعاقبين في موضع النكال والنقمة وأعظم المتجبرين في موضع الكبرياء والعظمة. اللهم أذنت لي في دعائك ومسألتك فاسمع يا سميع مدحتي وأجب يا رحيم دعوتي وأقل يا غفور عثرتي فكم يا إلهي من كربة قد فرجتها وهموم قد كشفتها وعثرة قد أقلتها ورحمة قد نشرتها وحلقة بلاء قد فككتها. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا. الحمد لله بجميع محامده كلها على جميع نعمه كلها. الحمد لله الذي لا مضاد له في ملكه ولا منازع له في أمره. الحمد لله الذي لا شريك له في خلقه ولا شبيه له في عظمته. الحمد لله الفاشي في الخلق أمره وحمده الظاهر بالكرم مجده الباسط بالجود يده الذي لا تنقص خزائنه ولا تزيده كثرة العطاء إلا جودا وكرما إنه هو العزيز الوهاب. اللهم إني أسألك قليلا من كثير مع حاجة بي إليه عظيمة وغناك عنه قديم وهو عندي كثير وهو عليك سهل يسير. اللهم إن عفوك عن ذنبي وتجاوزك عن خطيئتي وصفحك عن ظلمي وسترك على قبيح عملي وحلمك عن كثير جرمي عندما كان من خطئي وعمدي أطمعني في أن أسألك ما لا أستوجبه منك الذي رزقتني من رحمتك وأريتني من قدرتك وعرفتني من إجابتك فصرت أدعوك آمنا وأسألك مستأنسا لا خائفا ولا وجلا مدلا عليك فيما قصدت فيه إليك فإن أبطع عني عتبت بجهلي عليك ولعل الذي أبطأ عني هو خير لي لعلمك بعاقبة الأمور فلم أرى مولا كريما أصبر على عبد لئيم منك علي يا رب إنك تدعوني فأولي عنك وتتحبب إلي فأتبغض إليك وتتودد إلي فلا أقبل منك كأن لي التطول عليك فلم يمنعك ذلك من الرحمة لي والإحسان إلي والتفضل علي بجودك وكرمك فارحم عبدك الجاهل وجد علي بفضل إحسانك إنك جواد كريم الحمد لله مالك الملك مجري الفلك مسخر الرياح فالق الإصباح ديان الدين رب العالمين الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه والحمد لله على عفوه بعد قدرته والحمد لله على طول أناته في غضبه وهو قادر على ما يريد الحمد لله خالق الخلق باسط الرزق فالق الإصباح ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى الحمد لله الذي ليس له منازع يعادله ولا شبيه يشاكله ولا ظهير يعاضده قهر بعزة الأعزاء وتواضع لعظمته العظماء فبلغ بقدرته ما يشاء الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أنادي ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه فكم من موهبة هنيئة قد أعطاني وعظيمة مخوفة قد كفاني وبهجة مونقة قد أراني فأثني عليه حامدا وأذكره مسبحا الحمد لله الذي لا يهتك حجابه ولا يغلق بابه ولا يرد سائله ولا يخيب آمله الحمد لله الذي يؤمن الخائفين وينجي الصالحين ويرفع المستضعفين ويضع المستكبرين ويهلك ملوكا ويستخلف آخرين والحمد لله قاصم الجبارين مبير الظالمين مدرك الهاربين نكال الظالمين صريخ المستصرخين موضع حاجات الطالبين معتمد المؤمنين الحمد لله الذي من خشيته ترعد السماء وسكانها وترجف الأرض وعمارها وتموج البحار ومن يسبح في غمراتها الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله الحمد لله الذي يخلق ولم يخلق ويرزق ولا يرزق ويطعم ولا يطعم ويميت الأحياء ويحيي الموتى وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وأمينك وصفيك وحبيبك وخيرتك من خلقك وحافظ سرك ومبلغ رسالاتك أفضل وأحسن وأجمل وأكمل وأزكى وأنمى وأطيب وأطهر وأسنى وأكثر ما صليت وباركت وترحمت وتحننت وسلمت على أحد من عبادك وأنبيائك ورسلك وصفوتك وأهل الكرامة عليك من خلقك اللهم وصل على علي الأمير المؤمنين ووصي رسول رب العالمين عبدك ووليك وأخي رسولك وحجتك على خلقك وآيتك الكبرى والنبأ العظيم وصل على الصديقة الطاهرة فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين وصل على سبطي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة وصل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي حججك على عبادك وأمنائك في بلادك صلاة كثيرة دائمة اللهم صل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمل والعدل المنتظر وحفه بملائكتك المقربين وأيده بروح القدوس يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعله الداعي إلى كتابك والقائم بدينك. استخلفه في الأرض كما استخلفت الذين من قبله. مكن له دينه الذي ارتضيته له. أبدله من بعد خوفه أمنا ليعبدك لا يشرك بك شيئا. اللهم أعزه وأعزز به وانصره وانتصر به وانصره نصرا عزيزا وافتح له فتحا يسيرا واجعل له من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا. اللهم أظهر به دينك وسنة نبيك حتى لا يستخفي بشيء من الحق مخافة أحد من الخلق. اللهم إنا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة تعز بها الإسلام وأهله وتذل بها النفاق وأهله وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك والقادة إلى سبيلك وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم ما عرفتنا من الحق فحملنا وما قصرنا عنه فبلغنا. اللهم المن به شعثنا واشعب به صدعنا وارتق به فتقنا وكثر به قلتنا وأعزز به ذلتنا وأغن به عائلنا واقض به عن مغرمنا واجبر به فقرنا وسد به خلتنا ويسر به عسرنا وبيض به وجوهنا وفك به أسرنا وأنجح به طلبتنا وأنجز به مواعيدنا واستجب به دعوتنا وأعطنا به سؤلنا وبلغنا به من الدنيا والآخرة آمالنا وأعطنا به فوق رغبتنا يا خير المسؤولين وأوسع المعطين. اشف به صدورنا وأذهب به غيظ قلوبنا واهدنا به لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. وانصرنا به على عدوك وعدونا إله الحق آمين. اللهم إنا نشكو إليك فقدان نبينا صلواتك عليه وآله وغيبة ولينا وكثرة عدونا وقلة عددنا وشدة الفتن بنا وتظاهر الزمان علينا. فصل على محمد وآله وأعنا على ذلك بفتح منك تعجله وبضر تكشفه ونصر تعزه وسلطان حق تظهره ورحمة منك تجللنا وعافية منك تلبسنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Is it on now? Let's, for inshallah, for all of us to be true and close companions of the Imam of our time, let's recite the second one louder. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal farajah. Tonight I want to discuss a matter which is a reminder. I think we had something related to this and to the effect, but I'm going to try to approach it from a slightly different angle. And that is a test that we have been put in, and we're all aware of it, the condition that we're in. One of the aspects of this test, and mind you, as a reminder again, tests are to train us, not to test us in the sense that the instructor or the education system wants to check on and see what your progress is. Tests in Islam and in the divine plan and the way it works in this world, it's training. Meaning, let me spend a little bit of time on this because I think we're going to have to come back to this idea a little later as well. There's this notion that if we fail a test, then that's it. No, it's not it. It's not over. As long as we are alive, it's not over. When you look at these tests as, if you think of them as the tests that educators do to try, it may seem that way. And you have a certain number of times and tries that you can get. And if you fail at those attempts, then you're just not going to make that progress. You're not going to be eligible to move forward. One similarity there is, yeah, until you can get it right, you're not going to be able to move forward. However, it's never it. It's never over. It's training. For those who do good in the training, they move to the next stage. For those who don't do good, they don't do well, they don't do what they were supposed to do, they fail at it, it's not over. It's not the end of the world. It's not the end of their life. As long as we are alive, as long as we have been given the opportunity to breathe and to continue life here on earth, we have this opportunity to try again. God will put us through various other tests, and many times the same test is repeated over. For example, the daily prayers. If you miss a prayer, it's not over. Well, you missed it, even if you deliberately did it. God forbid if I deliberately just don't want to do my Dhuhr and Asr prayer. Well, that's a horrible thing to do. But even if the time is up for that particular prayer, it's not over. I can do qadha. And then there's another prayer time that's going to come up. What am I going to do in that? You have these recurring trainings and experiences that you get to do right. And if we don't do it right, we'll always get a second chance, a third, a fourth, a fifth. It shouldn't be understood that if we miss, if we do wrong, if we make a mistake, that it's over. No. As long as we are alive, there's always room to go back and to correct that mistake. One of the trainings that we are getting here in the context of this virus and the conditions we are in, forced, or the training is, we are forced to be together. We are forced to be together. Let me tell you the aspect or the perspective that I want to look at this idea. Look at the descriptions of the Quran in regards to paradise. If you look at the descriptions of the Quran in regards to paradise, you will see that the best of the blessings in paradise are companionship of other believers, particularly azwaj, spouses, husband and wife. In paradise, believing spouses, husbands and wives, are going to have a very, very enjoyable relationship. And all the food, the لَحْمِ طَيْرٍ مِمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ, the, I don't know what type of bird this is, لَحْمِ طَيْرٍ, the flesh of a bird, مِمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ, that they wish to have. Some of these worldly birds will be resurrected in more beautiful, more tasteful forms, and perhaps we have chefs over there that like to cook that meal, or however way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it. Those streams and the beautiful scenery, all of that is in the background. What you have is believers' relationship with one another, and one of the ones that's repeated constantly is hum wa azwajuhum, them and their spouses will be sitting across each other enjoying one another's company. It's the same spouse that we have right here. As much as sometimes, especially in the current context, we get agitated, we get irritated with the presence of someone we've been with for 5 years, for 2 years, for 10 years, for 18 years, for 30 years perhaps. We get agitated. Certain things my spouse says, and I'm using that word because it goes both ways, and I get agitated, I get irritated. I just can't stand it. And it repeats itself a few times a day, and I just blow up. I blow a fuse. I can't deal with it. And now we are here in the context of Corona, and we're forced to be in the same house. So we're constantly irritated, constantly irritated. If you have children, depending on their age, that adds. And whatever the age they are, they add. Whether they are in the earlier ages, if they're before their terrible twos or after their terrible twos,
According to some, they're always terrible, whether it's the twos, before the twos, after the twos. It's all terrible. Well, you have that, one, two, three, according to Islam, we should have more. And then there's irritations there. And it goes both ways. I'm irritated, she's irritated. The children are irritated with my comments. I'm irritated by their comments in this whole household. What type of joy is there? What is this setup? Everybody's waiting to just break through from this and just get out of that house. We have an opportunity, brothers and sisters, to train right here. Let me tell you a hadith that I'm sure you, some of you at least, if not all, have heard. And hopefully this will scare the daylights out of us in a sense. And it will help us try to get our acts together and try to get our relationships, especially with those close ones. See, your relationship with all believers should be good. But the thing is, with other believers, you only see them when you like to see them. And as soon as you're done with it, you're like, okay, bye, fi amanillah, we're over, leave, you know, I'm tired, go back home. But at home, it's your spouse. You can't kick your spouse out. And now in the quarantine, you can't kick him out, or you can't leave the house. Children, similarly, that's their house, you know. What are you going to do with them? And the other thing is, the closer the relationship, we are supposed to feel closer. Besides that factor, we are supposed to be closer. There's this hadith. The hadith talks about this great companion of the Prophet. He's been involved in jihad. He believed in the Prophet in the early days. He got more people on board. When the Prophet moved to Medina, he gave him everything. And I mean everything. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, one of the tribe leaders of Medina. There were two major tribes. One of them, the leader, the head, the chief was Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. The other was Sa'd ibn Ubadah. This one is Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh passed away during the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And the Holy Prophet participated in his burial. And when they dug the grave, the Holy Prophet went inside the grave. And he lay in his grave. He laid down as though it's his own grave, where this believer is going to be. And this is a great, you know, I don't know what that means, honestly. You know, what a great tawfiq this is for someone to have. The earth that the Prophet steps in, it's definitely going to make it a better place, whether it's going to relieve hardships or difficulties or enhance the pleasures and the blessings and the benefits. It's all a blessing, either one of those two. That is a great thing. Now, the mother of this individual sees the Prophet doing that. The Prophet comes out, and the mother of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh says, you know, how lucky my son is that he has this treatment from the Holy Prophet. He must be in a great state. And so on and so forth. And that is true. The Prophet said something, however, to teach us. Now, and let's get this clear. The Prophet does not negate or does not say that that person was not a good person. He was much better than, if not all of us, at least better than me, maybe not of you guys. He's a great person. And the Holy Prophet going in his grave is a great thing. The Prophet said, don't think that way, though. There's one thing. He's not bad-mouthing Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. He's trying to get the mother to pray for him. And he's trying to get us to be reminded of something important. And tonight we want to look at this important factor and look at the opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. The Prophet says, no, Sa'd had a problem. His akhlaq, his behavior towards his ahl. His ahl, it may seem like family and you think parents or whatever. Well, that's the mother. The mother doesn't seem to have any trouble with her son. It's the spouse and perhaps the children. Ahl, it's his family. And the Holy Prophet said he's going to have a difficult time. What is that difficult time for? What's the purpose of this? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to take Sa'd ibn Mu'adh into a paradise where he is going to enjoy the blessings that God has given him, including the blessing of his spouse, and his spouse is going to be enjoying the blessing of him, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. He can't be that person. God gave him the opportunity in this life to change himself, to work on himself. It's not enough to go for jihad. It's not enough to participate in jama'ah prayers. It's not enough to give charity. How is your akhlaq with your spouse, with your children, with your parents, with your close relatives, with your siblings? How's the akhlaq? If the akhlaq is not good, God wants to take you to paradise. He gave you the opportunity in this life. You didn't take advantage of it. He's going to have to burn it off after this life, or in the grave with the punishments of the grave that really shake one, or should shake one up, hearing the descriptions of the punishments of the grave, which are not comparable to the punishments of the Day of Judgment, and the punishments of the Day of Judgment are not comparable to the punishments of hellfire. If God forbid, we go through those stages, we still have these impurities, these problems in us, that if we go to paradise, the odor, the fumes, the filth, the ugly appearance of those bad qualities in us will disturb others. Being there, the words we will say, the way we will behave will disturb others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to take us to paradise. He's got to get rid of this. If the punishment of the grave doesn't, the punishment of the Day of Judgment doesn't, there's going to be hellfire until a person is purified, and then they're taken. Yeah, fine. Most people are going to end up in paradise. God's mercy. Kafirun are the only ones that will end up in hellfire for eternity. And kafirun are really bad people. Most non-believers are not kafirun either. Kafir is a really horrible person. Only they will be in hellfire for eternity. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going, but he's giving you an opportunity here. You want to get burnt? Do we want to see what it means to be in the grave with those horrible, horrific punishments? Or do we want the moment of death to be the moment that we see Ali ibn Abi Talib smiling at us and saying salam to us and taking us in, along with, you know, they say, verses say, the angels are there, all these, but Amirul Mu'mineen is a different individual who's there. He's going to be there, man yamut yarani. But is he going to be there with a happy face, or is he going to be there with an angry face? Would we be seeing him? Meaning, are we going to be able to recognize him? Are we going to be enjoying his presence, or are we going to be so horrified of the angels that are beating us, that are giving us the punishment that God has prepared for us, that we don't even realize what's around, who's around, what they're saying, who they are? Look at this environment that God has created for us as an opportunity, brothers, sisters, especially now the month of Ramadan. Now add to all the friction that's already there in the month of Ramadan. You're not eating, you're not drinking during the day. The sugar's not getting to the brain. The nicotine's not getting to the brain. The caffeine's not getting to the brain. That's a pretty horrible combination. But it's a training, brothers and sisters. And we get it every day until this is over. Let's take advantage. Instead of allowing shaitan to come in, this is what shaitan does, brothers and sisters. And I hope God saves me and helps me with this. I'm talking to you all. I hope I'm talking to myself first and foremost. Shaitan comes into me and tells me, look at what she said. Look at what that child, they have no manners. Why don't you learn? How many times do I have to tell you? Don't spill water. If you do, clean it up. How many times do I have to tell you that? And I keep seeing it. And then I'm like, yeah, these children, when are they going to grow up? And in my mind, are they responsible? Are they responsible? You have an opportunity here to serve God's creature. This is your child. It's God's creature that you have been given as an amanah, it's a trust. How do I deal with this? The opportunity to serve this child. He wants this food right now. Like, no, I don't feel like making food right now. There's already stuff in the fridge. You just go, I don't want that. I want something else. This is an opportunity for you to get up and do something for this child. You know how much rewards there are for this? You know what type of sadaqah this is? The child messes things up. I have either the option of getting angry at it, telling someone else to do the work, getting angry at them doing the work, getting angry leaving it, not getting angry leaving it, getting happy that this is an opportunity for me to serve Allah in this way. Get up and clean it up and don't even bring it to their attention. If there is a reason to help them learn responsibility, that's a different thing. Don't get that confused with your anger, with my temper, with me not feeling like getting up. And we really, you know, I don't know, we feel like it's difficult, we're fasting, we're not eating, we're not drinking. How many hours is that? What's going to happen to us? Come on. Get up and do something and look at that as a worship of Allah. The month of Ramadan is not only a time for worship in terms of reading Quran and dua. One of the greatest worships is serving God's creation. What better to serve God's believing creations that He has entrusted me with? Everyone, look at your conditions, your surroundings, the people around you in that household as an opportunity that God has given you. Instead of allowing shaitan to come and blame them and make me feel bad about them, let me try to reflect inside. Why am I feeling so bad about them? I'm not supposed to feel that way. There's a problem. Why did I shout at that child? Why did I shout at my spouse? Why did I get angry? Was it justified? It wasn't justified. 99%, I know myself, I don't know about you guys, maybe you guys are different. 99%, I get angry. I'm like, no, it wasn't justified. I shouldn't have gotten angry. Repent, the next opportunity comes, the child does something, the spouse does something that I'm usually irritated. Convince myself, why am I irritated? They like to do things in that way. She likes to put that picture over there. As simple as that. Why do you have to argue over where something has to be in the kitchen? It's not important. If you like it somewhere, you can put it, or you can do even something better. You can put it where they want. Prefer them over yourself. The way they like things done, let it be the way they like. Do it the way they like. If there's a serious reason, it's going to hurt things, it's going to hurt the house or hurt people, it's a different thing. But reflect internally. Use this opportunity. Try to get that cleared up. If we can reach that status of people of paradise here on earth, if we can reach that status between ourselves, where we don't get irritated from being around each other, just every step we take, everything we say, somebody's irritated. And we get frustrated. We don't like to be there. And past that, get to, or pass beyond even being neutral. Coming to a point where we do enjoy seeing the face of our spouse, of our children, even if it's every single day for the next month. That's how it's good. In paradise, it's not like it's something that's not enjoyable. And then somehow there, it's going to be made. There's so many layers of filth in my heart. I can't enjoy this great blessing. If all of that is removed, I will be able to enjoy the presence of these believers. Enjoy the presence of Allah with them. You'll start seeing things. You'll start seeing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present with those creations of His. And it's going to be a different feel. It's going to be a different experience. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us. We ask Allah by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, by the right of the Imam of our time, that he hastens the return of the Imam of our time. We ask Allah to help us become his true and close companions. We ask Allah to help all those who are helping his cause. We ask Allah especially to help our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins, forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah to grant all of us and all believers their hajat, their wishes, their requests. Relieve all those who are suffering from hardships, difficulties. There's a sister who passed away. I forgot to mention yesterday. I'll ask for a fatiha. I don't know if maybe there are others that I haven't been informed of, but this is a good sister in Florida. Her sister in the Islamic Republic got the virus in Mashhad, I believe, because she's from Mashhad. And she passed away after a difficult period of illness and trying to recover, but she passed. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives that individual and showers her with his mercy and gives patience to her family, her children, if she had, and spouse and parents and siblings and all those who know her, inshallah, and given patience and showered with his mercy, inshallah. Let's all recite Surah Al-Fatiha for her. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. We ask Allah to relieve all those who are suffering from illnesses, hardships, difficulties, and we ask Him to relieve all of us and all people of the hardships of this by providing us and providing the believers first and foremost with the cure so that they can then share it with all humanity. Unfortunately, when disbelievers or non-believers find these cures, then they charge the world not a leg and an arm, more than that. We ask Allah, inshallah, to guide the minds of the believers to the cure that He has for this, and inshallah, then from them it gets distributed throughout the globe, and all people are cured, inshallah, and we're over this pandemic. And we ask Allah, by the rights of the Imam of our time, that He relieves all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa Ali, rahimallah man qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat.